This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
I came all the way up here.
There's nothing left.
Please. There are people out there worth saving.
You don't know, do you?
I do.
The people that are left, they're not the kind of people worth saving.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila, and Arvin. And today, we're reviewing a pretty hotly anticipated sequel, something that, again, the rest of the world got sooner than us, but never mind, we are not bitter. We are talking about A Quiet Place Part 2.
I'm really late to the Quiet Place game. I actually just caught the first one very recently and then caught the second one. So it's an odd experience because I do think that they are off a piece. And this isn't a sequel that you can watch if you didn't watch the first one, I think. But that said, it's actually not bad as far as sequels go. It's not often that sequels do as well as the first. And I think in many ways, this one manages to be fairly up there.
So I really love this movie. You mentioned that sequels don't normally do well. I think they do horribly most of the time. When it comes to like horror films and thrillers and stuff, usually they don't stand up, right? Like they fail in so many places. This movie is really good. Like I enjoyed it a lot. I thought it's one of the more solid sequels to come out of a horror film like this. But I think the novelty factor is lost in the sequel. So honestly, you can just pull off that stunt once with A Quiet Place. The whole where like everyone's quiet and you don't make a sound and the cinema's like pin drop silence. I think that just works one time. And the next time you have to figure out some other way to bring something new to the movie. I think they did, but that newness isn't unique to A Quiet Place. It's similar to a lot of other movies that have come out in a lot of other horror films. Again, not to say that it's bad. It's just, it's not A Quiet Place lah.
It's literally not that quiet. I think that's yes. One of the big differences is that A Quiet Place really is near silent, except for the explosions of action and the occasional music. But A Quiet Place Part 2 is, I think, closer to an action thriller than it is a horror movie, whereas Part 1 hewed much more closely to a traditional horror movie monster flick kind of approach. So I don't know how much to summarize at this point, but A Quiet Place tells the story of a family trying to survive on a farm, basically the Abbotts, just trying to make it work and living as silently as possible because the world has been taken over by aliens that are blind but hear incredibly well. A Quiet Place Part 2 picks up exactly where A Quiet Place left off and sees the Abbott family leaving the farm where they'd been staying safe the entire time and encountering a neighbor in the form of Cillian Murphy, your classic is he good, is he bad, don't know, actor. And then also, I guess, trying to set off on potentially having a solution for the aliens that have overrun the Earth.
So I think it's important to perhaps keep in mind that they're actually very different stories and very different even movies in some sense. And I'm glad because the things that were successful in the first one, like you said, Arvin, the novelty of that world, the novelty of seeing humans adapt and sort of reimagine the world around them to suit this new reality, that was one of the best things about the first film. By the second film, that's kind of not there anymore. You're used to this space they live in. So the film doesn't try to recreate that. It takes a lot of things as a given. And instead, I think it becomes much more about the kids. And I quite like that. I didn't see that coming. I didn't think that the two children would sort of become the foreground of this film. And I think that adds a new spin to it. The fact that Millicent Simmons, who plays their eldest daughter, she's hearing impaired. And so I think all of that adds such interesting layers to this new story. And I didn't mind the fact that it wasn't trying to redo what the first one did. I must say, though, I missed the tightness of the first one, the whole family unit, just them in really that farm and not straying anywhere beyond. So the first film felt very tight in a way this one doesn't. This one kind of meanders a little bit here and there, and sometimes leaves you feeling like, where might this be going? But overall, I think the story is strong enough that you want to go on the journey.
Is it safe to call this movie a creature feature and not a horror film? Because like Lynn, you mentioned action thriller just now. It definitely is. But if this was like, if you knew this was a creature feature, then maybe it would set in as like a completely different film and you would know what to expect from a movie like this, even though it's called A Quiet Place. So the first one is very much horror because you don't know what's happening. You don't really get to see the creatures that much. Like everything happens in the quiet, in the dark, there's not much sound. And there's a looming sense of dread, right? This is a lot more like Anaconda or Lake Placid or even that new crocodile movie that came out, Crawl. Something similar where you're not exactly afraid of the creature, you're afraid of the consequences of the creature. So that's a creature feature, right? Which is kind of cool that he managed to do both under the same umbrella and succeeded both times. John Krasinski, I mean.
So it's interesting that you say that because I don't even think of it as a creature feature anymore, even though you get to see more of the creatures this time around. The first time they really did the usual stuff that you do in monster flicks, right? They hide half the time, you see glimpses of them or they're like scuttering through the fields. In this case, I felt like the movie was trying to explore the idea of what happens to the world, what happens when this happens and we are all separated and silent and just left to fend for ourselves. And that's where Emmett, the character played by Cillian Murphy, really comes in. And so that's why when I said action thriller, I was actually quite, I really did mean it. I think that it is more about people, and the dangers that people can pose and the dangers that people have to face from others, as opposed to, say, the creature itself. Basically, what is the deadlier thing here? And so I view A Quiet Place Part 2 actually, yes, it's a direct sequel, but I think it's also an exploration of the world. I think there's a reason why the creators have started referring to the Quiet Place world as a world, and why maybe future movies will stray even further from the formula of the first one.
You know, I don't know whether it's got to do with when I watched A Quiet Place, because I didn't watch it when it was hyping at that time. It doesn't even feel like a horror movie to me. I can understand why it's being filed under horror, but I would say A Quiet Place is actually a creature feature and it's a monster movie and it's a thriller. I didn't find it to be horror and I am a chicken when it comes to horror films, right? I don't find it scary in that I'm in mortal danger kind of scary. I found it to be a really atmospheric, clever film about a scary situation. I think maybe all of this, what it means is that in a sense, this whole world that's been created, when you think about it, doesn't easily fit into the genres that we would box films into because it's also sci-fi. It's also adventure. It's also coming of age in many ways.
I think that was one of my biggest issues. And I like sequels and spin-offs and stuff, but this, you know, mentioning the world and the expanding world in A Quiet Place, I felt like this movie should have resolved some things. And this movie kept escalating other things and it kept expanding. And I got a lot of The Walking Dead vibes from it. And I don't like the way The Walking Dead went because I think it went way too big, way too much. And I'm just afraid this franchise might go that way. Again, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm just afraid of the future that it's heading towards because it looks like it's opening up to a lot of other things. I don't know if I want these characters or these movies or even these TV shows to go that way or if it even needs to do so much because sometimes less is more, I feel.
So at this point, I just wanted to bring up the fact that Sharmila, you started us off by saying that you missed the tightness of the first film. And That made me wonder how long this film was, because it felt quite lean as well. And actually, it's about the same. So they're both like an hour and a half, more or less. That's what you get. And I feel like that tells you something about John Krasinski, because he is, of course, the creator, the director, and in fact, the aliens in the first film. So he did the motion capture. So I think that he understands his story, right, and what it was that he wanted to tell. But he also understands what we like about it, which is the leanness, which is the fact that I'm just looking at the budget. It's like 55-ish, 60 million. And I think that there is an understanding, therefore, of what these kinds of movies are. It's like hyper prestige Blumhouse. You know, it's like they're lean, they're mean, and they are not small, but they're just the right size, I think. And I think he gets that.
They're just the right size is so important, because then you don't need to expand on things that's going to bog the story down. I don't think this premise would hold up if you made it into a 2.5-hour film. There are too many questions. There are too many weird holes. And that's not a criticism of the script. These are holes that would appear if you decided to expand the story. So he, for all that he's not actually a filmmaker that's been doing this for a very long time, I think John Krasinski really understands the story he wants to tell and just how much it can be stretched.
Oh, that is so true, you know, especially the pacing. There's not a single moment in the film where it's no pun intended, that it's quiet. So it keeps going and going and going. It's so punchy. It's so punchy the way he tells these stories, which again goes back to what I said before. I'm kind of afraid that if it keeps happening, then it won't be as punchy. And then we're going to spend too much time figuring out, like, where did these creatures come from? And
I'm afraid the holes will appear with, like,
exactly.
More films.
Yeah. And honestly, I don't care. I just like the stories the way they are.
If Tomorrow War can have a sequel, you know, like...
Tomorrow War needs a sequel.
I've had it with you. We're talking today about A Quiet Place Part 2. And that is a direct follow-on to A Quiet Place. Have you watched it? Did you enjoy the first film? Did you enjoy this one? WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bodacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's Popcorn Culture with Lynn Shamila and Arvin. We are reviewing A Quiet Place Part 2. Overall, we all like it. Overall, it is a very different film from the first one. I wanted to talk about performances. So I think really that the heart and soul of A Quiet Place Part 2 is in Millicent Simmons. And earlier when we talked about the Abbott family, I didn't mention that, of course, Reagan is the daughter of the family, and she is deaf. And I think that that is such an interesting... It's always been one of the more interesting elements when it came to A Quiet Place, right? This idea of someone not being able to speak or to hear in a setting where you... in a setting where sound is an issue. And I just really enjoyed watching her develop her character in this film.
I'm actually very glad that that's the direction it went, because for some time I thought it might be Emily Blunt's story. And while she was great in the first one, I feel like we got what she needed. And I don't think this movie would have held up as well if that was the journey. So I'm really glad that the film kind of shifts its focus. And also because of the journey that her character, Millicent Simmons' character, has gone through in the first film, it feels absolutely right that now she comes into her own and she's the one who kind of carries the story forward. I also really enjoyed her chemistry with Cillian Murphy. It's one of those odd couple pairings that might not have really worked, but actually feels very tender and sweet.
I always forget how good of an actor Cillian Murphy is until he keeps appearing in like movies. I mean, we know, right? And every time you watch him, you're like, oh, it's Cillian Murphy. And then he like chews scenery and you're like, oh my God, it's Cillian Murphy. And he does the same thing here. Like he doesn't hijack the movie, but there's so much energy that he brings to it and so much Cillian-ness. And he does the same thing in like Peaky Blinders. He even does the same thing in the Batman movies, even though he's like a tiny side character, he brings so much to it. I loved watching him. He chews scenery, but he doesn't do it in a way that takes away from the other actors and the other players.
Cillian Murphy is just ridiculous. Like, he's good in everything. And the same is true of Emily Blunt. And I think that is the pleasure of watching the both of them together, because you're just watching two really good actors be really good at the same time. And also, you often hear of actors saying that others were generous, right, with sharing the screen. And I felt that quite strongly with the both of them, because as we've established, they're more than capable of just taking over and being like, look at me. And, you know, neither of them ever did that. I have to say, and this is incredibly dumb, I apologize in advance, they're both British. And it really tripped me out to watch them speaking to another in American accents. Like, I think it's just one of those things where if you know what they sound like, it is weird.
I think I got used to that with Emily Blunt more than with Cillian Murphy. So it was a little bit odd. So it's good that they were quiet a lot. or when communication was in sign language, then it didn't bother me as much.
I'm going to admit something. I didn't know that Cillian Murphy's actual accent was the one in Peaky Blinders, or closer to the stuff in Peaky Blinders, because he keeps acting in like, quote unquote, American movies. So for me, this was his default accent that I always had in my head. I was like, oh, that's Cillian Murphy. That's what he sounds like. But he doesn't. This is work for him. Like, he had to put in effort to sound like this.
Yeah, I'm so sorry to have derailed us a little bit, but I was tripped out. When the two of them are like whispering at each other, I'm like, guys, all the Americans have gone. You can speak normally now. And I'm like, don't be an idiot. Stop talking.
Southern tinge there. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. How did you feel? I'm especially curious about you, Sharmila, because both Arvind and I saw A Quiet Place when it came out-ish. How did you feel about the inclusion of sign language? Because both movies really have that. I don't think it's necessarily amped up more in A Quiet Place Part 2. It is just as important as it was before.
I loved it. So I didn't realize that the character hadn't, or John Krasinski hadn't intended for his daughter's character to be hearing impaired, right? So it so happened that as they, you know, as they were casting, they found this actress and it just happened. And then it became such a large part of the film. I actually really, really liked it because in a weird way, it enhanced the story so much. This idea of how would a family communicate if you had to be quiet all the time. But of course, this family could already do it because they were already speaking in sign language before all of this happened. It was so clever. I very much enjoyed it. I really liked how they expanded on it in the second film as well.
I didn't know that was not the intention. I can't even say why here because...
Because it feels so inseparable from the story, right?
It does. And it's weird that wasn't the case in the beginning.
There's a story that I love of Millicent Simmons, who plays Regan, right? Millicent Simmons' mother going up to John Krasinski and telling him, thank you for letting me finally understand what it's like inside my daughter's head. And he said he just burst into tears. But I love that story. And I think that has a lot to do with... So the first film got a lot of acclaim and in fact, an award for its sound design. I don't think the second film's at that same level, but it still has that feeling of allowing you to understand what it would be like to be a hearing impaired person operating in a world where if you step on something, you're not going to hear that, right? If you accidentally brushed into something and it's falling and you've turned away from it, you're not going to hear that fall, but
if
the alien will.
If a monster is creeping behind you, you won't hear it. Mm-hmm. That is terrifying.
That is. Can I point out something about the color in this movie? Like, I don't know why, but I just wanted to ask you guys, like, did you like the way the movie looked? Because even that is slightly different from the first film, right? It looks mildly Stranger Things, the second movie, part two. But the first one looked very sort of grainy and it looked more like it was quote-unquote shot on film, if that makes any sense.
It's funny that you say grainy, because I thought you meant grain. Because I do think that it looks very
because
grainy.
Of, because of that one scene with the grain. Yes.
Not just the one scene, but the whole thing is like, it's on a farm, so there's a lot of like wheat, and you know. So I thought we were having a pun moment there. Sorry.
For me, the main difference was how bright this film was versus the first one, which tends to be in shadows and in a lot more sort of tightly confined spaces.
I think there is definitely... So this comes back to me, it's a different film. And because it is not... They're not living underground, you know, in the same way that they were in the first. They by necessity have to move in daylight as opposed to the first film where they had a bit more control over what they would be doing and why. And so I think, again, the look of the film is by necessity. It's also, what's the word? It's also sleeker, right? And I think that that might have to do with the larger action sequences. There are bigger explosions. There are harder fights than there are in the first.
No, I definitely think it has to do with this. As you said in the start, Lynn, this is a film about a world more than just a family. And so they do spend a lot of time expanding what that world looks and feels like.
I also want to say, though, that by the time the third movie comes out, I hope that everyone's able to go watch it in the cinema again. Because if there's any movie making a case to watch something in the cinema, it has to be A Quiet Place 1 and 2. Because the first one was so, if everyone in the cinema has the right kind of mindset, then no one's going to be making any noise. And that's a surreal experience, right? That's such a weird way to watch a film because there's always someone making noise. And if everyone's on the same wavelength, it's so cool. It's just, it's a completely unique, completely different experience.
I'm having major FOMO right now.
Well, with A Quiet Place Part 2, it also benefits from the fact that everyone got the memo in A Quiet Place. So I don't know whether Part 3 is going, if it comes out, is going to be the same. Because again, Part 2 was, it's like slowly allowing us to talk once more, for better or for worse. And so I don't know whether it's going to keep going. I can't say much about this at all, but I really enjoyed the fact that we got to be on the inside of a radio studio in A Quiet Place Part 2. I enjoyed that a lot.
Oh, me too. Yep. And also just the stuff that happens in there felt very like, ooh, what if this happened in our office?
Oh, no, please. Like, none of that should have like anything, not in the country. Like, just please just take all of that away. Like no. But yes, I liked seeing the radio studio. So I was like, hey.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, hi, friend. Okay, we've been talking today about A Quiet Place Part 2, a direct follow-on to A Quiet Place, directed and written by John Krasinski. Let us know if you've watched it or if you've watched A Quiet Place and if you enjoyed it. WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Write to us at movies@bfm.my.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.